Stand by, Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show, Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, Terry Saul, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, our special guest is an American singer and an actress. Oh, yeah, she's also the daughter of Dean Martin. Dina Martin. Good morning, Dina. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for asking. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I've got to tell you, I've been wanting to do this interview for a long time. I'm a big fan of your dad. I spent my wedding night with your father in Reno. That's a whole other story. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. So, first of all, thank you for giving us the time. Where are you in now? Are you down in the Los Angeles area, or where are you at?
Well, let's see. I'm on the road, 280 days out of the year.
Wow.
Yes. And so right now, we have a home in Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
And we just got back. I'm trying to think where I just was. But I'm off on the 16th. I'm playing it in California at Herb Alpert's Vibrato
Jazz Club in
Bel Air up in, Beverly Glen. And, so that'll be, a couple nights there. So that's fantastic. So that's that's very soon.
There you go, right around the corner.
Yes, now, I'll be all over.
Let's talk a little bit about your recording career. Obviously, you grew up Dean Martin's daughter there, and did you always want to become a singer? Did your dad kind of push you in that direction? How did that come about that you decided you wanted to sing?
He never pushed us in any direction. He just wanted us to be happy, and he would give us pointers if we did. But I think it's just in my DNA. It's in my genes. I was given piano lessons, tap lessons, ballet lessons, and so, and to tell you the truth, all of the Martins are like hams. So we just grew up in a funny kind of musical atmosphere. And I knew, when I was very, very little, I'm thinking maybe I was 9 or 10 years old, and I went to the Sands Hotel with our family, and Dad was playing at the Sands, and we sat in the Copa room at the Sands Hotel, and I'll never forget sitting there and watching my dad. And, the house would be dark, and they would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel is proud to present the star of our show, direct from the bar, Dean Martin." And then sitting there, and he walked out in his tuxedo looking so handsome, and he sang and he made people laugh. And I remember saying, "Oh my gosh, I've got to do this. I want to do that." It started for me there.
He was the king of cool, wasn't he? I mean, he was just so cool. He was so laid back. I mean, he was just, was he that way all the time? Was that him?
That was him. He was just that cool, that sweet, that funny, that nice. And, memories of growing up, because he would, if he wasn't working, and if he wasn't working on a movie or something, he would get up and he would early and go play golf. He loved to play golf. He was an incredible golfer. And he'd come home, every night he was home for dinner, and we'd have a big dinner together, seven kids. And but he would walk in the door and you could hear him. It's just like he had little taps on the heels of his shoes, and he had on, nice slacks and a polo shirt and a cashmere V-neck sweater. And it was just, he was just cool.
He was king of cool.
Yeah, he was the king of cool. And in fact, Elvis Presley is the one who told me that. Gosh, it was at Paramount Studios. We went down to see Dad. He was doing some movie. I can't remember what one it is now. But I was standing out by the dressing room, and I see this man come riding up on a bicycle, and it's Elvis. So I'm out there, and he said, so I was introduced to him, and he said, "Dina," and he took my little hand in his. He said, "Dina, they call me the king of rock and roll, but your dad is the king of cool."
Yeah.
I wanted to die. Wash my hand for a week.
To have Elvis tell you. Now, during your childhood, it wasn't unusual for some of his friends to come over, and you refer to them affectionately as Uncle Frank. I wonder who that could be. Or Uncle Sammy. Who could that be? Did they come over to the house often?
Oh, often. Well, you know what? Yeah, kind of. You know, for parties, and you know, and Uncle Frank would come over, and Uncle Sammy. But you know, for me, what was amazing is I could go downstairs, and there'd be Sammy Kahn sitting at the piano playing, you know, some song, because he would write parodies for Frank and for my dad. And he would be, you know, playing something and, you know, maybe I've sewn a costume to her face. You know, we're listening and laughing, and I'm going, this is Sammy Kahn, who wrote all these incredible songs. And of course, he wrote Ain't That a Kick in the Head and Time After Time. So people were in our living room, and I remember many Christmases with, Christmas Eve with Rosemary Clooney. And we're sitting around, and, you know, I mean, it was just an amazing life for the people that would come over. And then, you know, just going down to the NBC to the to watch Dad record his TV shows, you know, on Sunday afternoons. And, you know, and so the people we would meet there, Ella and Dinah and the Mills brothers and you name it. Everybody was on my dad's show.
Were you ever starstruck?
Starstruck. Well, when I met the Beatles, that was pretty something.
Oh, come on now. how did that come about?
There was a big party, and I think it was at Alan Livingston's house. And Alan Livingston was, what was he at Capitol? He was a big shot, but he had a big party for the Beatles when they came into town. And everybody was invited because they were raising money for hemophilia, which I can't believe that it just came back to me now. And everybody could go and meet the Beatles and shake their hand and have your picture taken with them. And we just thought, you know, I just thought that was just the greatest, because my favorite was George Harrison, and it was just an exciting time for me. I think probably the Beatles were the most exciting.
So mine was always Ringo, because Ringo never looked like he was paying attention. You know, he's playing, and most drummers are that way. They're looking everywhere but where they should be looking, and you're thinking, how are they staying on top of what they're supposed to be doing? Because Ringo would just, he'd be looking at everybody. He's looking down at his shoes and whatever.
They were so cute, I tell you. You know, so it was great. And during those times, of course, you know, I met, I remember my dad calling. He was doing the Hollywood Palace, and he called me. He said, Dina, I think, you know, get your sisters, and you should come down here to the Hollywood Palace, because there's this group here, and it looks like they just got off the boat, so I'm sure that you would love them. We get there, and it's the Rolling Stones.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Whatever happened to them, I wonder. Where'd they end up there?
Yeah. So, unbelievable.
Did you ever appear on your dad's show?
Oh, yes, I did many times.
Okay.
And it was quite something. I remember the first time I had a song out. I was recording with, gosh, I should have thought about this, for Lee Hazlewood. I had done some country, a couple country songs with Lee Hazlewood, and it was When He Remembers Me and Girl of the Month Club, and then Baby, I See You. And so it was the first time that I was on the Dean Martin Show, and I went and I did a duet with my father, and then I sang Baby, I See You. But those were, that was the first time, and then I was on many times after that, on the Christmas shows and you know, family shows where we'd all get back together. Even a fabulous Christmas show with the Martins and the Sinatras. And, you know, so I did it many times, and it was always a lot of fun. The only thing wrong with, it was actually so Dad, he didn't show up during the week for rehearsals. He didn't want to show up for the rehearsals. I remember when he made the deal, he told all the kids one night, he said, tomorrow I'm going to go see the executives for NBC. They want me to do a TV show, the Dean Martin Show, and I really don't want to do a Dean Martin show. He said, because, Terry, in those days, you were either a movie star or a TV star. So, you know, people didn't cross over. So Dad says, yeah, I really don't want to do a TV show. So he went, he had the meeting, and he asked for an incredible amount of money, and he told him that he did not want to rehearse, and he only wanted to come in on the afternoon that they would shoot the show, and that was only after he would play golf, after a round of golf. And they said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when can you start?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And so he did. And, you know, so when I would go do the show with him, his musical director, Lee Hale, would stand in for Dad. He would have a sign on his chest that said Dean, and he would do all the musical numbers and all the skits with all of the stars. It would be, you know, that could be Peggy Lee, whoever it was, but Lee Hale would sing with them or dance with Sid Charisse. And on Sunday afternoon, Dad would walk in, read his cue cards, sing, I guess, go through the songs with Les Brown and the Band of Renown. And then he would go out and do the run-through and do the show. He was absolutely incredible.
And he probably, and to me, watching those shows, and I've got them all on DVD, watching those shows, he was having fun, it seemed like. He was just, and if he messed up or the guest messed up, that was part of the fun. You just keep going and have a ball, right?
I think that's exactly it, and that's why he didn't want to come to the rehearsals. He didn't want it to be old hat. He didn't want it to be too much like work. He would go in and have fun. He enjoyed it, you know, singing with the people. I mean, he was just brilliant at what he did, and he had fun doing it. And I think that's what, I mean, it was on for so long, 10 years, and then the roasts. But he would show up and have a, you know, just have a good time, and he was just amazing.
Did the other performers were they okay with that? The fact that Dean wouldn't be there all week long, and then all of a sudden, come show day, he's there, and we do the show.
Well, a lot of them weren't exactly really happy about that. In fact, I remember, they would do it because they knew Dad would be there, and he would be the professional that he is. But I think one time that Lee had to go over to Peggy Lee's house and rehearse with her, and then she showed up for a rehearsal, the day before. So she was, you know, when you're a pro, you're a pro. And Dad was so amazing with him. When I watch him on the shows, and he made you feel so comfortable, he knew the songs. But the cue cards, they would try and mess him up with the cue cards. It was one time, I think it was on the Christmas show, it was funny. Dad starts singing, he's going, Leon, Leon. He said, that's not right. He said, turn the card over. So he says, oh, Noel. You know, and he would keep it. It was just, he was funny, and the whole crew was funny. And they knew that he could pull it off. He was probably the only one who could pull that off.
Was he naturally funny? It seems that it would just come out naturally, and you'd sit there and die laughing. Was he just naturally fun?
That's who he was. That's how he was. And he could make a water bottle seem funny, or, you know, I mean, he would just say things. And just, I remember one time he said, we were out to dinner, and he said, well, I got to go now. I got to go finish my novel. You know, and he'd get up and he'd go. You know, he said that he read one book in his life. It was Black Beauty. It made him so sad he didn't want to read another. But, I mean, there were, you know, just, he would come out with things. And he had these big hands, and he'd have his hand down, and he'd go, okay, I got to go iron my hands. And he'd get up and go. You know, so, I mean, it was just things that you had to be there. And it's not a joke that someone would write for him. It was just, he would find humor in what was around him. He was just funny.
Yeah.
And he, as I say, he loved playing golf. I remember him saying, he said, you know, Dina, he said, the reason why I work is so that I can pay for you kids and play golf. You know, that was him.
When you performed with him, we've got about 2 minutes left on the segment here, but when you performed with him, were you ever nervous? I mean, knowing that who he was, first of all, yes, he was Dad. He was Dad to you more than anything. But still, you were on there, you were on NBC, and you're performing with Dean Martin.
Yeah, I was nervous. In fact, that first time, Dad said, you're not nervous, are you? I said, would you believe petrified? And said, you know, and he was so cute. He said, okay. He said, I'll tell the audience, don't look at my daughter. You know, you don't want to make her nervous. You know, so, I mean, he was cute. And he would make you feel comfortable. He could make, he made me feel comfortable. Of course I was nervous. And it was a TV show, and he was the biggest star there was. So it was, yeah, it was
and, cool. And you made your debut on his show back in 1966. But you also, you sang with Sinatra on the show?
Oh, yes. And on Christmas show, and that was fun. What did we do? Doe a deer, a female deer. It was fun.
With Uncle Frank.
With Uncle Frank. He was so good to me. And, you know, that's for a whole other time.
Yeah.
He was great. Loved him.
That's incredible. We're going to take a short break. Our guest today is Dina Martin. She is a American singer, an actress, and the daughter of the late Dean Martin. And we'll check in with her a little bit more as we continue.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Angel Kinson, you're causing no return in my pew. Mi dipingevo le mani e le facce di blu. Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapido.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Salt Weekend Show. Today's guest is Dina Martin, who is a singer, an actress, the daughter of the late Dean Martin. Dina, you have your own singing career, and you're out and about, like you said earlier, doing 200 shows a year.
Well, I'm on the road 200 days a year. You know,
okay.
So that's, you know, getting there, packing, unpacking, flights.
Are you only doing like 3 shows, but the rest of the time is packing?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Is that what it would? Now, where, you perform all over the country?
Yes, and Australia and Italy. But I'm in, New York and California and Florida and Seattle and Chicago. So it's really a lot of fun. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You know, my dad always made it look so easy.
Right.
I had no idea it was this tough.
Really?
It's really hard, you know, with the musicians and of course, I said the packing and unpacking, and it's putting the shows together and figuring out the songs. A lot of the times I'll just do, I have a show called Dina Sings Dino, which is really fun, and I think that's what I'm going to be doing at Herb Alpert's Jazz Club next week. And it's for me to be able to sing the songs that my dad made famous and to have people come up on stage with me. I ask for 3 volunteers when I'm doing Memories Are Made of This, because I was at the original recording with my dad when he recorded Memories Are Made of This at Capitol Studios. And I sat there, and he had 3 backup singers. They were called the Easy Riders, and they're the ones who would sing, "Sweet, sweet, the memories you gave to me. Sweet, sweet." So in my show, and that became his first number one hit, my dad's first number one hit, Memories Are Made of This. So in my show, when I do that, I ask for 3 volunteers to come up, and people sing, "Sweet, sweet, the memories you gave to me," and it's really a fun part of the show, and you never know who's going to come up on stage. It could be Joe Mantegna, it could be Nelson DeMille, who's ever in the audience who has the nerve, and they get
right.
up and they sing with me. So it's really quite something for me to be able to perform his songs and my songs, and everybody sings That's Amore with me, or Volare, and so it's wonderful.
What is your favorite Dean Martin song, and then what is your favorite song to sing? Let's start with your favorite Dean Martin song.
You know, it's not one that everybody knows. I mean, I love all of his songs. So, you know, I mean, that's for sure, because he just had that fabulous way of singing.
Oh, yeah.
There is something about I Will. I don't want to be the one to say I'm going to miss you, but I will. And it's just the way he sang that, and that little lilt in his voice. I loved I Will, and I still love I Will. But, you know, everybody is fantastic. But for me right now, my personal favorite is the duet he does with me of True Love, that great Cole Porter song. And that's on my Destination Moon album. And I do that in my show. I have a beautiful video, you know, photographs, and it's kind of tough to get through it.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I'm looking at the pictures, you know, when I'm just, 3 years old, and it goes up to, you know, now. So it's, and to hear his voice. And my handsome husband, John, had found the original handwritten Nelson Riddle arrangement that my dad recorded. And so we went into the studio with fabulous musicians, re-recorded it. When I put on the headset to sing with him, I couldn't get through it. But it was quite something. But it's so good. And Al Schmidt is the engineer who put our voices together. He's the one who did Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole's Unforgettable.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, so the memories for me are just, spectacular. And,
now,
that's my favorite now.
My favorite Dean Martin song is Volare. I mean, come on, how do you not love that song? Yeah. And the other night when I was doing some research on you, you've got it up on your website. And I listened to it, I go, oh, I like this version too. I like the way she's doing this.
Oh,
that's a fun song, isn't it?
It really is. And when I'm up, you know, I say to the audience, I say, you know, those years were magical for me, and that's why I'm up here. And I remember it like it was yesterday, and I want to sing this song for an audience just like you. And I start with Penzo Kian Sonia Cosino, and I say, sing with me. And everybody starts singing, Volare. It's really quite something. It's really a lot of fun. What a fun song.
And you did really well with that, too. I mean, it peaked at in the top 40, according to Billboard magazine, correct?
Yes. So, well, you see, this is one of my favorite interviews. You did your research. You know what you're doing.
You don't know what kind of a fan I am.
Oh.
I'm borderline stalker, okay? I told you earlier that I spent my wedding night with your dad, and I'll tell you the story about that. He was performing at Bally's in Reno, and my wife and I decided we were going to get married, and she says, where are we going to get married, at Las Vegas, or what do you want to do? I go, no, let's go to Reno and see if we can catch the Dean Martin show. And she's going, who? And I go, you'll see. And we got up there and we got married at the wedding chapel of Bally's there. And I told him, I says, is there any chance we can, you know, get tickets for tonight's show with Dean Martin? And he says, well, since you're getting married here, we'll give you 2 front row tickets. And afterwards, we had the opportunity to meet your dad. I don't know if he did lots of meets and greets, but I had the opportunity to meet him. And in 45 years of radio, I've interviewed a couple of presidents. I've interviewed the who's who in Hollywood. And I was never so awestruck when I shook Dean Martin's hands. Because like you said, this guy had big hands. He had huge hands. And I thought he could crush me in a minute. But he was so gracious. He just got through doing 90 minutes on stage. And he was so gracious and such a nice guy. I thought, take me home with you. I mean, you know, did he like his fans?
Oh, yes, he did. See, and the thing about him, he probably shook your hand, looked you in the eye, and smiled.
Yes.
You know, said, nice to meet you, and nice to meet your wife. You know, I mean, that's who he was. He never forgot who he was. He was from Steubenville, Ohio. You know, his father was a barber. His mother was a seamstress and an unbelievable cook. And I'll tell you about the pasta fagioli another time. But he always taught us, to all of his kids, you know, to treat people the way you want to be treated. So, you know, we're all the same here. And he just thought he was so lucky, and he worked hard all of his life. And he knew everybody else worked hard too. So there was just something about him that was genuine. He did not, I don't think that he did a lot of meet and greets. I don't remember that, but if there was something special, like someone got married there, of course he would want to do that.
Somebody apparently told him that we'd just gotten married about an hour before the show. And so when he was talking, he says, you know, I'm getting back with my wife too. And he says, I wish you luck. Now you wish me luck. And I says, sir, I do. I wish you all the luck too. He was just, like I say, I walked out of there and my wife looked at me and she goes, you're in heaven, aren't you? And I go, I just shook Dean Martin's hand. Of course I am. Of course I am.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And you know, those are the things that you remember your entire life. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Oh,
it was great.
And that's, you know, that's what he taught all of us. And that's, it's very, very important. That's the way he was. Just kind and considerate and funny and cool.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Today's special guest is the daughter of Dean Martin, Dina Martin. And now back to that fun interview we had with Dina.
See, this is one of my favorite interviews. You did your research. You know what you're doing.
We are back. This is the Terry Salt Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, Terry Salt. Today we are talking with Dina Martin, the daughter of Dean Martin. She's a singer. She's an actress. And she's on the phone with us today. We were talking a little bit. Did he like to eat? Did he like his Italian food?
He loved his Italian food. But now, you know, he looked fantastic. He always exercise every day. And it was funny. He taught me. He said, now, Dina, you know, we'd go out to dinner. We'd go to La Scala, or, you know, my grandmother would come by and cook. But and I'll tell you about the pasta fagioli in a minute. But he would say, now, Dina, here's what you do with your bread. Don't eat the center of the bread. He said, just eat the crust. And so we would be out to dinner, and he would get a roll or something, or the, you know, Italian bread or French bread, and he would pull the inside out and just eat the crust. He said, if you don't eat the middle of the bread, you'll never get fat.
Really?
And you would go see him, and, you know, you would see his plate, and still to this day, of course, when I have, you know, like the bread plate, you'll see just little clumps of the middle of the bread on my plate, and I will only eat the crust. He said, you don't need to have all those carbs.
Was he a cook? Did he know how to cook a nice dish of pasta?
No, you know, he wouldn't do the pasta. He would he was a great griller. He would do a fried egg sandwich. He was great with that. He loved doing those. But he would, you know, do steaks and hamburgers. But his mother, my grandmother, Angela Crosetti, and Angela, she was my godmother, and that's why I was named Dina Angela Martin, and she taught me. I think it was 9 or 10 years old. She said, now, Dina, she would come over on Sundays, and we'd have Sunday dinner together. Of course, you know, big Italian family, and she would make gnocchi. I would watch her roll it with her thumb, and she made this fabulous chicken. But she said, now, I'm going to teach you how to make pasta fagioli, and you cannot tell anyone else how to make this. Don't tell your sisters, your brothers, no one. It's a secret.
No, so tell everybody what pasta fagioli is.
It's a bean and pasta soup.
And it's to die for.
Oh, it is to die for, especially the one that my grandmother Angela taught me. But the whole point of it was that she taught me how to make it. She said, one day when I'm gone, you will make this for your dad, and it will be a connection for you and your dad and me when I'm gone. So I thought, okay, great. So I watched her. You know, she put in the olive oil, then to chop an onion, 2 cans of the Progresso cannellini beans, not even rinsed, just pour them in, salt and pepper, 6 cups of water, and then the secret ingredient was a little bit of cinnamon.
Oh, really?
And then you bring it to a boil, and you simmer it for like 2 hours. I don't know why it would be 2 hours. Then you put in the ditalini or the Tibetti little pasta and cook it so it got al dente. Then you would serve it with Romano cheese, not Parmesan. It has to be Romano because it's better. So anyway, so years later, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to get for Dad? If I'm being maybe 30 years there. So what am I going to get Dad for Christmas? Another V-neck sweater? Another silver frame? No. And the pasta visual came to mind. So I go to the store. I get all the ingredients. I remembered it like it was just, I'm in my grandmother's, kitchen. I'm making it with her. So I made it, and I put it in a glass ball mason jar, put a big red bow around it, took it up to my dad's house, and I handed it to him, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, oh, is this what I think it is? Is this pasta fagioli? I said, yes. He said, it's warm. So I went in, and we had some. You know, I had brought the cheese, too. Next week, he calls me, and he says, Dina, this is your dad. I said, I know your voice, Dad. He said, do you think, and he never called anybody, mind you, I want you to know. He said, do you think you could make that pasta fagioli for me again? I said, of course, I would love to. My honor. So I go down, I make it for him again, I take it up to the house, you know, the next day, he's not there, he's playing golf, and the housekeeper said, well, he's not here, but he left this little envelope for you. So I open the envelope, and it's a thank you note, and there's 5 $100 bills, and it says, dear Dina, thank you, this is for the beans. You know, so a week goes by, and he calls me, he said, hi, it's your dad. I said, hi, Dad. He said, do you think you could make that pasta fagioli for me again? I said, of course. I said, I don't want $500. I said, the beans cost like $2. He said, well, it's for the work. He said, but you'll make it. And I said, yes, I'll make it again. So I make it, take it up there the next day. He's playing golf, and the housekeeper gives me another envelope, 5 $100 bills in it. This time the note says, thanks, baby, buy a house. You know,
nice.
So his sense of humor, it was so sweet. And then he called me, of course, the next week. And I said, I'm not going to make it. I don't want $500. I said, I'm not doing it for that. And I made it for him for the rest of his life. It was what my grandmother, it was exactly what she wanted for me and my dad. And I put it in the book. So I put the recipe finally. Now my sisters were, you know, because I would only make it for them. I wouldn't let them.
See how you're doing it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
My mom is. I'm an Italian. My real last name is Saltalamacchia. And yeah, it's a mouthful. And my mom was the same way. On Sundays is the day that she'd go into an empty kitchen and come out with a hell of a meal. And that's just what they did. And she, pasta fagioli is one of her best. She always used to tell us, I'm going to make a good dish of pasta. And I go, what do you mean a good dish? It was always a good dish of pasta.
A good dish.
I think I think they had the same type of sense of humor, and that's where I learned about Dean Martin was from my mom. I mean, she had every one of his albums, and she couldn't hold a note to save her life, but she would try. And I remember just before she passed, it was the same type of humor. She told me we were up at the coast here in Oregon, and she says, you know what? When I go, check my coat pockets. I go, what are you talking about, Mom? She goes, just check my coat pockets. That's where it's at. I go, that's where what's at? She goes, that's where the money's at. I go, Mom, your money's in a bank. So about a month later, she passed, and my wife and I were clearing out her house there, and I go, hey, wait a minute, where's her coat? She told me to check her coat pockets, and I go over and I grabbed her coat, and there's a piece of paper, and I pull it out, open it up, and it says, gotcha. And it's like, perfect. come on.
Yeah. Now,
isn't that something Dean would do?
It's exactly what he would do. Exactly.
No, just play the game.
Play the game. Cute and funny. And he even, remember when he passed away? Or no, actually, I was there visiting him one day. I brought him some pasta vajoule, and I went into the bathroom, and I see, you know, there's his, or his dressing room, I guess it was his dressing room, and he had, you know, a built-in safe on the wall, and with the combination written on this on the wall.
Where else would you expect it?
He said, who's going to steal from me? I saw that. Why even have a safe? But anyways, it was... he was cute.
In his later years, he would always go to a restaurant once a week, didn't he?
La Familia.
Yeah.
La Familia and La Dolce. Let me see. So it was, first of all, La Familia, when that closed, and that was on, Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills, just south of Santa Monica. And then he would go when that closed. Then he moved over to Da Vinci's. It was on Little Santa Monica near Wilshire. And, you know, he would always have his own booth in both places, and in fact, he would go by himself. You know, I mean, he would just drive over there. Because later on in life, you know, what he loved was to go out to dinner, but not necessarily to talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, I would call him and say, Dad, you want to have dinner? He'd say, yeah, yeah. He said, let's have dinner. He said, but, you know, no chit-chat. I don't mind the chit, it's the chat. Said, okay. He was so cute. He liked being around people. He just didn't want to, you know, I know after all those years of talking to people and everybody asking him questions and everything, he liked being around them. People were respectful to him. I know he would sit in his booth at the La Familia, and someone, you know, a couple would walk in, and if the maitre d' wasn't there, Dad would get up and grab some menus and say, I'll show you to your table.
No, seriously.
Oh, yes. And they're going, wait a minute. Hey, that's Dean Martin.
That's Dean Martin taking me to my table.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, he was just cute. He was funny. And,
yeah.
And as I say, sweet. He didn't want people to have to wait if the owner was gone. So that's just the way he was.
And I know a lot of was written and said about him and Jerry Lewis. We did an interview with Jerry Lewis several years ago before he passed, and he said there was really never a battle. There really wasn't a fight. They just kind of went their separate ways. Is that the way you remember it?
That's the way I remember it, is because, you know, well, first of all, my dad, you know, and I loved... you know, Jerry Lewis. He was, you know, I just adored him.
You appeared on the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon back in 2003.
Yes, and we did Time After Time
together.
And it's on, I'm trying to remember which album, but it's on, probably Memories Are Made of This. But he, you know, for my dad did not get mad. He didn't yell, or he, you know, that's not who he was. It was, he would take things. He had just a way about it. But, you know, when he had it up to here, he'd had it up to here, and then that was it. You know, and then it's over. There was just some, you know, that was who he was. He was Italian. You know, this is my house. You're living in my house. You go by my rules. You know, that's just how he was. And so with Jerry, you know, things would happen. And he told me he kind of got, you know, he got tired of being the bad guy. Because it was always, you know, when it was, you know, Jerry was the cute little kid in the movies, and Dad was the one that would, you know, yell at him in the movies. And he said he finally, the last straw for my dad was, what was the movie called? And Jerry had written it, and let's see, The Detective or something. And he had Dad as a uniformed policeman. Dad said, I don't want to be a uniformed policeman. You know, you could make it a detective or something. I don't want to be a uniformed policeman. Jerry said, that's what the part calls for. And then Dad said, well, you wrote it. You can change the part. He said, no, that's how it is. So then that was like it. That was the point. Okay, you know, well, then, you know, it's it. And they continued on. I think they started together July 24th, 1946. and the last show they did was July 24th, 1956. And I have one of those. But they were great together. You know, I know
they were huge. Loved, they were huge.
They were huge. No one wanted them to break up. I mean, you know, I still to this day I just laugh when I watch some of those Colgate Palmolive comedy hours. Jerry just made me laugh, and Dad, you know, just so cute. And they had such a connection, and as Jerry would say, they had magic in a bottle.
Did you get along with Jerry?
Oh, yeah, through all the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up watching him because I remember, I think it was Dad and Jerry, they did the very first muscular dystrophy telethon for the kids. You know, it started with Dad and Jerry. And, you know, we would, of course, we would watch it all night long.
Right.
You know, they would start out in the tuxedos, and then after a few hours, you know, the ties would come undone, and you know, watch the tote board, and we loved it and what he did. And then when Dad stopped doing it, but when they split up, of course, we still watch it. That was something we would always do on Labor Day. I remember being in, gosh, New York. I was living in New York at the time. Might have been 1976 when Uncle Frank brought my dad onto the MDA telephone.
I watched that last night. I watched
really?
That again, yes.
Wasn't that
and
something? So
it was, Jerry was shocked.
He was shocked. I was shocked. The world was shocked. I'm sitting there watching it, you know, our son, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, I see Frank go, you know, here's a guy who, you know, loves what you do, and he wanted to come by. And I can see in the dark, I see Dad walk. I said, that's him. You know, I couldn't see his face, but I could tell his walk. And then he walked out, and he had a cigarette, and he hugged him. I mean, it was just, I get chills when I think about it. It was like, you're kidding me. And none of us knew. And it wasn't until years later, you know, of course, I called Dad. I said, why didn't you tell us? He said, well, what was the fun of that? I think it was Ed McMahon who said that he had hidden my dad in his trailer so that Jerry didn't know he was there.
So Jerry really did not know it was coming.
He did not know.
Well, leave it to Sinatra to pull it off, right?
I know. Gotta love him.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We're back in 5, 4,
we are back with our final few minutes today. Our guest has been Dina Martin, actress, singer, and she is the daughter of Dean Martin. And Dina, first of all, thank you again for spending the time with us. This has made my day. Hearing your stories as well as stories about your dad is just an incredible time. You have a couple of books out or one book out? What have you got?
I have one book out, Memories Made of This, Dean Martin Through His Daughter's Eyes. I am working on another one. That
right.
book is fantastic. And we've had four production meetings making it into a movie. I can't talk about that.
Sure.
You know, so we're doing that, and I am working on another one as we speak.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and also, you know, a new album. So it'll be my sixth, I think. The sixth, and you know, so just I keep working and traveling around and spreading the word. And I want to thank you for playing this music and for keeping my dad's legacy alive. Also, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Believe me, he was my hero. He was my hero.
Mine too. What about his movies?
Oh, good. Didn't you love his westerns? I loved his westerns. But my wife Patty, we were talking about. She says, "Well, my favorite Dean Martin one is Airport."
Oh yeah.
And I thought, I forgot about that. So we watched that the other night too. And
yes, with Jacqueline Bisset.
Yes, yes, a great
Helen
movie.
Hayes.
Yes, all of them. Yeah. Yes, I think it was a Van Heflin that was in there, and
yes,
yeah, it was a great movie.
I'm gonna have to watch that again.
I'm telling you, that's a fun one to watch.
Yeah, because, I loved Rio Bravo and The Young Lions.
Yeah,
and Some Came Running. Oh my gosh,
he was even cool in the movies. You know, he was just cool in the movies.
As Matt Helm.
Yeah. For crying out loud. The book itself is called Memories Are Made of This, and you basically talk all about growing up as his daughter, and there's a lot of stories in the book itself.
There's a lot of stories, I was just saying, you know, and it's from beginning to end, you know, so it's my whole life, it's everything that we've, you know, that I've gone through, and it shows and how everybody seems to love this book. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a 13, you know, a 16-year-old woman, a 70-year-old man. In between, I've had people come up to me and say, thank you for writing this book. It really opened my eyes. I had no idea, and it's wonderful. Because these are things in your life that everybody goes through. It's not just, you know, being movie stars or anything like that. It's everybody. It shows that all human beings are all the same, and we all go through the same things in our lives, and we can come through it in the end and be, you just have to, have a nice little faith in God and try and do good and understand that there are things that happen to you that are beyond your control, and you just have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Yeah, it sounds like a song, doesn't it?
I do it, too.
Dina, are you having fun? Are you enjoying your career? Are you having a good time doing this?
I'm having a lot of fun doing it. As I say, it's a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. And I love the music. I love the songs. I love getting up and entertaining people and hearing the applause and the laughter and the joy after when I go out and I meet people after the show, if I'm signing books or CDs or just talking to people, and the joy that they have. But for me, what's really nice is now it's not just when I, after a show, they come up and say, I'm your dad's biggest fan. They
sure.
come and they say, great show. I'm a huge fan of yours, and I loved your dad. And they'll tell me a story. So it's going, full circle. This is what I'm supposed to do. I love doing it. It's just great.
I do some stand-up comedy. We all do. And I have had the honor and opportunity to open for a lot of folks, including our friend now, Louis Anderson, down in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And I opened for him this last time. We were at the Plaza, which is right downtown Vegas. And I remember going backstage there and getting my spot ready where I was going to stand. And they told me, they said, see the wall over there? I go, yeah. And he goes, Sammy Davis opened this particular showroom. And I go, really? And they all signed the wall there. And I looked over there, and there's always Dean Martin. And I'm going, are you serious? Dean Martin actually performed on the stage? And they go, yeah, right there where you're standing on the star. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm standing in the same spot on the same stage doing my stupid stand-up shtick where Dean Martin got up there and sang Volare,
Wow.
My wife looked at me and she goes, reel it in, okay, dude, reel it in. I go, it doesn't matter. This is where Dean Martin was.
Yeah, and he would love to write Always. I can just see it. Yeah, Always Dean Martin.
Always Dean Martin there. it's just amazing. So when are you going to get up here to Oregon?
I'm going to have to get my husband on to Oregon.
I'm telling you.
Send me some names of some performing arts centers or jazz clubs or some venues, and we can look into that. I'm really not sure. As I say, I'm right now I'm thinking about this show in Bel Air with Herb Alpert. At his jazz club, which is really, if you're ever in Bel Air, you've got to go to Vibrato. It's really very, very cool. And so I'm working on that, and Staten Island, and then, so I'm all over the place, Washington, D.C.
We'll get you up here. We'll get you up here.
All right. Well, then send us some venues, and we'll take a look at it.
All right. June 7th is Dean Martin Day in Ohio.
June 7th is Dean Martin Day.
How did that come about?
It was, we were, when he, after my dad passed away, of course, everybody in Steubenville, Ohio, they're huge Dean Martin fans, and they called me. Rose Angelica, who was the head of the Dean Martin fan fest, called us, and so my husband and I went, and we, go every year, and we were thinking, we should make it a holiday for dad, because he was so incredible what he did for Steubenville and Ohio. So we called the governor of Ohio and said, what do we do to, make a day for Dean Martin? He said, you can't do it. It's not in the Constitution. So my husband says, how do you change the Constitution? I would have said, okay, thank you. He said, how do you change the Constitution? He said, you have to get some senators. We have to pass the bill. And so we did. And
nice.
Governor Taft signed it in, and I'll never forget that day speaking in front of him, and it was passed unanimously. So that's how we got Dean Martin Day.
How do you, with our final minute or so here, how do you want your dad remembered?
Oh, I want him to be remembered as, first of all, the kindest, funniest man you've ever met. Really, really kind and funny, but down to earth and a fabulous voice. And a really good golfer. And, you know, I mean, just things that he would like to be remembered as, I think is just, you know, he was a good guy. And that was, that's how he thought about himself. And but I think, you know, the what Dad did for the world and how people adore him and the music and the TV shows and the comedy and the you know, everything that he did is just, you know, spectacular. And so it will live forever.
He certainly
will.
It
will never be forgotten.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have a website out? Your website is what?
Dina Martin.
DeanaMartin.com.
Yes, Dean with an A, DinaMartin.com, and on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, so, I mean, all of those things, but definitely people should go to DinaMartin.com. You can send me an email, Dina@DinaMartin.com, and, you know, we can keep in touch, and they can see where I'm going to be at what times, but it's really a, you know, there's nice pictures and photographs. It's a great website.
Dina, thank you. You don't know what this has meant for, you know, somebody who's done 45 years in this business, and finally this just made my day. I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
All right, thank you, my dear.
All righty, we'll talk to you soon. You betcha. Uh-huh. Take care.
Bye bye.
She's back in the river. Yes, the Willamette Queen is back, bigger, better than ever. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion, they are back, and they are operating year-round. Give the Willamette Queen a call, 503-371-1103. That's 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen. As we close out today's show, here is a little bit of Dina Martin in concert.
Folks, and we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.